next one. Mark, tell them.
I'll do them later.
Yeah, do we know if Bill was coming?
He's sick.
Oh, okay, I didn't catch up with that. He sent an email.
He did.
I haven't gotten my email since early this morning.
Yeah, no, he sent it.
Okay.
Here, I'll take this while you get set up and have my side.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you. How you doing, Tom?
Good, and you?
Good. Just busy. My daughter just bought a house. I'm the free labor.
Hard to say no, huh?
But I'm going away next week on a ski trip, so she's on her own that week. All right.
Yes.
Okay, what is today?
What's up, Steve?
Hey, Mike. I'm on my old days. And today's the 21st.
Sounds like it was an early morning, huh?
It's been early morning and late night. I said to Tom, I've been helping my daughter. She just bought a house and helping her fix it up. So I'm the free labor.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah.
Here in town?
No, unfortunately.
So you got to drive home.
Hummelstown.
It's not too far, but you still have to get there.
Yeah.
You're a good dad.
So, okay, I guess we'll get started. All right, we'll get started here. Val, are we recording? Okay, great. Okay, the February 21st, 2024 meeting of the Derry Township Zoning Hearing Board is called to order. I want to make everybody aware that it is and has been the policy of Derry Township to record meetings for the purpose of accurate notes and posting on the township website. This meeting is being recorded for those purposes. We'll do a roll call. Joe Nocera?
Present.
Tom DiDonatis?
Present.
Mike Angelo.
Mike Angelo, thank you.
Yeah.
My brain's really not functioning tonight. Mike Angelo?
Yep, here.
Bill Tefuto, I know, is out sick, so he's absent. And Steve Seidel, I'm here. Okay. Sorry, Mike. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes of the January 17th, 2024 meeting?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, I'll second that. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, that motion carries. All right, we have three items of old business tonight. First is an adoption of decision in the case of Hockersville LLC. I'll read the substantive part of the order. So number one, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-315, table 29, item B, regarding the minimum lot width is granted. The applicant may maintain a lot depth of 70.1 feet. Number two, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-501.3.C, regarding driveway access to a rear alley is granted. The driveway access to 3rd Street is permitted instead of the private alley. Number three, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-315, table 29, item D, regarding the front yard setback for a principal structure is denied. Number four, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-402.2.E regarding the minimum width of an access drive is moot as a result of the granting of a variance under paragraph 2 of this order. Number five, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-206.H.16 regarding encroachment into the front yard for egress doors is moot as a result of the granting of a variance under paragraph 2 of this order. I have a motion to adopt that order.
I'll make a motion to adopt.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Second.
Thank you, Mike. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that carries 4-0.
Thank you.
Thank you. Second order of old business is adoption of a decision in the case of SSN Hershey LLC, case number 2023-20. And again, I'll read the proposed order, the substantive part of it. Number one, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-402.2, table 34, regarding the minimum width of the maneuvering aisle for parking is granted. The applicant may maintain a maneuvering aisle for parking that is 16.5 feet wide as shown on the plan submitted at the hearing. Number two, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-307, table 13, regarding maximum impervious coverage is granted. The impervious coverage shall not exceed 78%. Number three, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-307, table 13, regarding minimum vegetative coverage is granted. The vegetative coverage shall be at least 22%. Can I have a motion to adopt this order?
Motion. So moved.
Thank you, Mike. I'll second that. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries 4-0 as well. Okay, last item of old business is adoption of decision in the case of Copenhagen Builders LLC, case number 2023-21. Again, I'll read the proposed order. Number one, the applicant's request for a special exception from section 225-602.b regarding expansion of nonconforming building by between 25 and 50% of the nonconforming floor area is granted. The applicant may construct a proposed addition containing 1,323 square feet or 39.1% of the building's existing floor area. Okay, I'll make a motion to adopt that order.
I'll second.
Thank you, Tom. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that carries 4-0 as well. Okay, we have two items of new business tonight. Excuse me. We have a hearing, and first one is a hearing in the case of Glenn R. Sponagle, case number 2024-01. Come up to the podium, please. And
Before we begin, I just want to disclose that our law firm, Nestica Drube, has represented Glenn Sponagle on matters other than zoning, and we have represented Randy Wright on matters other than zoning, so that would not pose a conflict of interest, but I make that disclosure for full disclosure. Thank you.
Thank you, Megan. Okay, we need to, Mr. Wright, are you the only one who's going to be testifying, or?
I think so.
Okay, we'll need
if not, we'll
need to swear him in.
Yes.
Court reporter, please state your full name and address, and we'll swear you in.
Randall Wright, I'm with Hanover Engineering. I do.
Okay, go ahead and proceed.
All right.
And
thank
describe
you.
What you're doing. And
here tonight representing the landowner, who's Glenn Sponagle, also with me this evening, as I noted, for a property that the Sponagle family owns out on EB Road, kind of in the southeast part of the township. specifically, our discussion tonight is going to focus on one lot on the farm, which is approximately 60 acres in size. I'm going to refer to that as lot number three. And I have the pointer, that's right, if I can see it. Oh, there it was. lot number three, which was created by a subdivision plan back in 1995, when three parcels were subdivided on the whole farm. The applicant desires to, off of lot number three, which is 60 acres, subdivide a lot of approximately 11 acres for an additional single-family home. With our discussions with the Township Zoning Department, was found that a variance is likely required for a minimum lot width. So the main purpose we're here for this evening is lot width for a new lot that would result from the subdivision. The property is zoned conservation, and we have an airport hazard overlay on it. And I would also point out, as the enlarged area is the perfect timing, the whole property is served by one driveway, a shared driveway, one access point that comes off EB Road, and currently serves all the uses on the entire property, which is the original farmstead on lot number one, lot number two, future house location there, and lot number three, which has an existing two-story structure on it. I will note, too, on-lot sewer and water for all of the lots out in this part of the township. Any questions for the board, from the board? I tend not to stop, so I want to pause. Okay, we're here for...
We won't hesitate to stop you if we need to. So
okay, go good. Please do. As I mentioned here, for minimum lot width, which is section 225.303 table 5 in this district, a 200-foot lot width is required. That was also the same width that was required back in 1995 when the subdivision plan was completed. So what we're asking to do is basically create or subdivide the existing 200-foot lot width, which is serving lot number 3, into two, so both the residual lot and the new lot would now have lot widths of 100 feet. That would allow them to obviously qualify as lots because we have to have frontage onto an existing street. obviously we were splitting the difference or splitting the existing 200 foot in half to get access to both the residual lot and the proposed lot number 4, we're calling that. In essence, we're creating two flag lots, actually two smaller flag lots. Lot number 3 is kind of a flag lot already, as you can see, by dividing the 200 foot into two 100 foot parcels. We're just making the flag portions a little bit narrower. I would also mention, too, this is not a use variance. The proposed use is a single-family home, which is allowed in the conservation zone. So we see this as a little more of a dimensional variance other than a use variance. I'd like to run down to justification. I'll ask one more time for questions from the board.
Not yet. Go ahead.
Okay. let me run down the justification for the hardship. And we're going to point to a unique physical circumstance or existing condition. And we're going to point to the lot width for lot number 3. And also I'm going to point out that when 1995, when the subdivision plan was done, the subdivision of the, I'm going to call it the farmstead. There's a group here of obviously the original farmhouse, several outbuildings, the main barn, gardens, this area, which has been on the farm, you know, almost since it originated, wanted to be preserved. So when that subdivision took place, about 250 feet of the existing frontage of the whole farm was taken at that time. So that took up over a third, the whole frontage of the farm on EB. It was only 650 feet for all 80 acres at that time. So the creation of that lot to preserve the farmstead really used up, like I said, over a third of the frontage there, leaving us with two 200-foot lot widths on the existing lots that we find out there now. So it's been fairly, the frontage is fairly limited. If you look at it, the big picture, as well as lot three, the 60-acre lot, having only the 200-foot of lot width. I would like to...
So just to clarify, so the original 1995 subdivision did not include this parcel at the intersection there of EB Road and Grandview? Or did it?
That parcel, yes. That was created. There were three lots created, the farmstead lot, the lot number two, which is the, you say, the intersection, and right, and lot number three. All those were on the,
okay,
on the same
farm. Okay, so there were three lots created at that time
in
from the original.
Yes,
okay.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Just to give everyone a feel for the... The photos you just received are just to give the board an idea of the farmstead. I think it's important to focus on the fact that we took more frontage than necessary when we created the lot for the farmstead because of the existing conditions of the buildings and locations of the driveways and things like that. So that left us with the... In essence, the 200-foot that we're dealing with now on lot number three to subdivide it into two. We do believe that because of this somewhat limited frontage, that there's no way the lot can be developed in strict conformity without some kind of relief concerning the lot width. The existing shape and configuration of the property, we believe, is what has created the hardship. As opposed to the applicant creating it specifically. As far as altering the essential character of the neighborhood, most of the lots, single family lots out in this area, are on larger lots. You can see we're proposing an 11-acre lot here. Everything on the farm is 10 acres or greater in size on all the parcels. As well, I touched on the access. Even the new lot is going to be served in some fashion by the existing driveway that comes out to EB now. So there really is going to be no change in appearance of anything along EB and no additional access point created. And lastly, we feel the variance, if authorized, will represent the minimum variance that would afford the relief and represent the least modification possible of the regulation in issue. So with that, I think I will open it up to the board for any questions.
Yeah, if I may. A couple quick questions. I see the parcel before it's subdivided has frontage on Grandview. Is there a reason why that couldn't be used for the frontage requirements?
Grandview is a private street.
It's a private street.
Yes, it is. So all the lots served on Grandview are served by that private street that goes back many, many years.
Okay. Next question would be that I see there's a pond there, but the property, new proposed property line, like cuts it in a third and two-thirds. Is that stormwater basin or is that just a pond?
That's just a natural pond. The line that you see that goes, I'll say, along the pond is the current lot line of lot number three. So that's not being created by our subdivision. That's currently in place right now.
All right. Last question I would have then is if the property is subdivided, whose responsibility is the pond and maintenance of the pond, or is that a factor with this?
It's not a factor with zoning. I'm sure our subdivision plan will, you know, include easements and maintenance notes that talk about that. Currently, the whole property, all the lots are owned by Mr. Spinaugle.
Right.
So the family, you know, owns the whole thing. But we would cover that type of thing with easements and notation on the subdivision plan that will hopefully follow.
Very good. Thank you.
All Go ahead. Yeah, so I had the same questions Tom had. Mm-hmm. So kind of adding to that, so the frontage then for the lot there that I referred to at the intersection, that is lot three, you said?
Yeah.
From the original subdivision?
On the original, no, lot two.
Lot two, okay. And yeah. What is, and how much frontage does that lot have?
I believe that lot, when it was created, had almost exactly 200. Dave is going to blow it up for me. Yes, 200-foot of frontage there also.
Okay. So without coming in for a variance, is there any other option to access any other portion of the property for an additional lot? In other words, is there any possibility you can come off of Grandview? You're saying it's a private drive. Who owns that drive? The homeowners in that cul-de-sac?
I believe the homeowners probably collectively.
Is there a homeowners association there associated with that?
But then any lot, well, first of all, any lot created there, that frontage, I believe the township only considers public streets for frontage on lots, unless it's an official private street, which is possible. Again, that was created, I don't even know what year it was, back in the 60s or 70s. Right. So it's pretty old.
I just want to get clarity on, you know, you've got a large parcel here, obviously. Right. You're trying to subdivide it. If you were trying to subdivide it again, then what happens?
So to answer the question about Grandview and frontage, we only allow a certain amount of residential lots to be located on a shared common drive. That number is 7. Grandview neighborhood currently has 7 residences. So either way, even if they would try to use the Grandview frontage, they would be here for too many dwellings on a residential shared common drive. So they would be getting a variance one way or the other.
Right. Okay. Just want to be clear about, you know, because this is one piece of still a large lot. Clear as to what would happen if you wanted to do further subdivision in the future. So,
I would think the only solution possible would be if we consider full construction of a public street, like a cul-de-sac, but then we're talking about cul-de-sac length. We're talking about the township taking dedication to a street that they quite honestly probably don't want. So that's the only way I can think of off the top of my head that we could really get access to other parts of the property. I think the applicant is aware of that, especially with the cost of trying to build such a street to get more lots out of the property.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. Anybody else? Joe?
David, can you bring back the blueprint view? The lot, the other lot with the 100-foot of frontage, is that the one below the one in question? That has 100-foot of frontage as well?
Yeah.
Is that a specific, right?
So yes. Right now, lot number 3, which is the big lot, has 200-foot. And we're going to split that in half. So half will remain with lot 3 with the existing house, and the other 100-foot will go to the lot for the new house.
Okay, makes sense. Thank you.
One last question. So this, when it was divided, the first 3 lots in 95, roughly?
Yes.
So they all fully complied with zoning at that time?
Yes, because especially the lot width, because 200-foot was the minimum lot width at that time.
And still is, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Nope. We need to swear again.
I do. Glenn Spinacle. I just want to add a little bit of color to this request. This parcel has been in my mother's family for a couple hundred years. I currently live in lot 1. My parents live in lot 3. And I have 2 children who want to build a home. So we're creating this compound, let's call it. So there's no intent to do a larger development. It's just to get a 4th lot for another child to build a home. That's the motive. So if you have any questions about that, I'd be glad to answer them.
Okay.
All good.
Any others?
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Of our business, but
well, just it's it, that's the why behind this.
Right. Right.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I don't think the board has any further questions.
We appreciate your decision.
Yeah, the board has 45 days to render a decision, and you have 30 days thereafter. Yeah, is there anybody from the public here regarding this case? Thank you. Seeing none, we'll close the hearing. The board has 45 days to render a decision. You have 30 days thereafter to appeal if you're aggrieved in any way. Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Okay, second hearing tonight is hearing the case of Michael and Diane Leonard, case number 2024-02.
Good evening. My name is Pete Howland. I'm from Wick, Swanger, and Widener. I was planning on sort of interviewing the witnesses with testimony. Is that okay? Where are they going to sit? And how would we do that?
Just they're going to stand next to you. You're going to share the microphone there. If you need a second microphone, we can.
All right, that's fine.
We can provide you this one here.
Okay. I just haven't done this with you guys before, so. Oh, yeah, it's H-O-W-L-A-N-D. Firm is Wix, W-I-X, Wenger, W-E-N-G-E-R, and Widener, W-E-I-D-N-E-R. So my name is Pete Howland. I'm from Wix, Wenger, and Widener. We represent Mike and Diane Leonard, who are applicants in this matter. They're seeking dimensional variances from the provisions of the township ordinance as set forth in their application to relocate their plumbing business to the property at 1066 Old West Chocolate Avenue. The property is in the industrial zoning district with residences and a garage currently located on the property. The Leonards currently have the property under agreement of sale, and the approval of the variance request is one of the contingencies to move forward with the transaction. The property is undersized per the terms of the zoning ordinance, which requires a minimum lot size of 1 acre and a minimum lot depth of 175 feet. With me today, I have Mike Leonard, who is one of the applicants, and Joel Majeski, who's a registered landscape architect from Honor Engineer Company. And Majeski, is M-A-Y-E-S-K-I. We intend to show that due to the unique physical circumstances, including the shallowness of the lot and the undersized nature of the lot itself, that an unnecessary hardship exists for the reasonable development of the property in accordance with the zoning requirements. And that the variances are necessary for the reasonable development of the property. Moreover, we'll show that the hardship was not created by the applicant, and that if granted, the variances will not alter the character of the neighborhood and the area where the property is located. And take note, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has held that zoning boards must examine whether a variance is sought for a use variance or a dimensional variance, and here we're requesting a dimensional variance. And so to justify the grant of a dimensional variance, multiple factors may be considered, including economic detriment, financial hardship, and the characteristics of the surrounding neighborhood. And the quantum of proof necessary for a dimensional variance is less than that for a use variance. This property is not well suited for the purposes for which it is zoned due to its undersized nature and the setback requirements of the zoning ordinance. However, with the grant of the variances that we're requesting, our client believes that this will be an ideal location for his relocation of his plumbing business. So with that, I'm gonna call Joel Majeski to offer some testimony.
I do.
I'm sorry, could I have you spell your last name one more time?
Sure, it's Joel Majeski, M-A-Y-E-S-K-I, okay. With Honor Engineering Company.
Thank you.
Thanks. Could you, you already gave us your name, tell us your occupation and your relationship to the applicant.
Sure, a registered landscape architect, and...
Hold on one second.
Sure.
You can use this one and use
okay.
this one.
Okay. Okay.
There we go.
All right. I'll settle this in place. So, and he is, him and his wife are our client, working for this expansion for this property.
Okay. Can you describe the parcel of property for which the variance application has been submitted, as far as acreage, zoning mm-hmm. district, and so forth?
I believe 0.794 acres.
Could you move a little closer to the microphone?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's 1066 said West Old Chocolate Avenue, and it's, I believe, I'm going to say, there we go. It lists, I think, different 0.794 acres, I believe.
Correct.
Correct, yes, okay, yep, and it's, yep.
What about the present use of the property?
It's currently residentially used at this moment.
Okay, so there's three structures, a house correct. And like two garages.
Yes.
Okay. What's the minimum lot size in the industrial zoning district?
It's 175 feet.
That's the depth, right?
The depth,
yep.
Oh, the minimum size is 1 acre, yes.
1 acre, okay.
Yep.
So according to the regulations, this property would not be approved for any sort of change of use because it's both undersized and it's too shallow.
Correct.
In other words, it doesn't comply with the zoning ordinance from the get-go.
Right, yes.
And to your knowledge, did your client, Mike Leonard, have any part in creating this lot?
No, he did not.
Okay. Can you tell me what borders the lot here?
On the rear of the lot is the railroad property. On the front is West Old Chocolate Avenue. And on the east side is a current residential property. And on the west is currently vacant.
So there's no way this property could be expanded to turn it into a conforming lot?
No, there'd be no way to, I mean, with the right-of-way for the railroad, there'd be no room to expand that direction or into Chocolate Avenue.
Okay. And what about the setback requirements for the lot? Can you tell me what the setback requirements are?
Correct. Yeah, under zoning regulation for industrial is 40-foot setback okay. around the property.
And so does that include just the building, or does that include parking also?
That includes both building and parking.
Okay. So if maybe you could go to the diagram that's, well, there's a plan.
No, that's him. He's the one operating.
Sorry about that.
There you go.
So according to this this plan here, yeah, you can't really see it right here, but yeah, there we go. That's what I'm trying to highlight is if you look in that sort of quadrangle type, yeah, what he's outlining right there, is that the area that could be used per the terms of the zoning ordinance for both building and parking?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And do you, you know, looking at the permitted uses in the industrial district, when you look at all those uses, is it reasonable to think that you could use that property and comply with the ordinance at the same time?
It would be difficult to comply with the ordinance with that amount of area currently.
Okay. So in addition to the lot size variance and the shallowness variance that we're requesting a variance for setback, and we're asking for 20 feet for the principal building?
Correct? Yes.
And then we're asking for 3 to 4 feet for parking, 3 feet for parking in the front and 4 feet for parking in the rear.
Correct, yep.
Okay. And then we're asking for a loading space variance in the front of 23 feet.
Correct, here. Yes.
And then we're also asking for a variance for a shed in the rear of 4 feet from the property line.
That is correct.
Okay. Are the residents and the garages and so forth that are currently located on the property, are they currently compliant with the zoning?
Currently they are not. The shed is directly on the property line, and the principal structures are, I believe, less than 40 feet off of the right-of-way.
Okay. So turning to some of the other properties in the neighborhood or on this street, as you go down, as you head west on Old West Chocolate Avenue, you first come to the storage lots. And do you have any sense of where those buildings are located for purposes of setback requirements?
By looking at them, it appears that they're less than 40 feet off of the right-of-way at that location.
And so I only have one copy of this plan that I found, but I thought I'd bring it along, and I don't know how you want me to admit this or have you look at it, but I found this plan, and this is from 2002, and it's the land development plan for this development. And so this would show anyway that these buildings are both within the front setback area and the rear setback area, and it was 40 feet then also. But I don't, can I admit this or?
Yeah, yes, we can admit that as an exhibit. Sure, that'd be helpful.
I'm sorry about that. It was sort of a last minute.
Thanks, Val.
It's sort of a last minute thing.
And what property is that?
So this is not the direct neighbor of the property, but this one right here.
So two over.
Two over, yep. And then if we move down further to 009, you can see on that parcel, well, why don't you tell us, does it appear that there's parking within the setback area there on that parcel?
At that location, it would appear that the parking is not on 40-foot setback.
Yes. And then similarly on 023, which is that the U-Haul property now? That's not it.
U-Haul property is still yet to be developed.
Oh, no, that is the,
that will
that,
be.
Yeah. That's
it's,
what it was.
It's not presently,
like
correct.
Anymore, right? Okay, yes. So this 003 right. has been redeveloped by U-Haul, and so that picture is not current.
Right, correct? And I think, I don't know if the plans are in there, but that also has a information.
And so we reviewed your minutes from 2023 where a variance was granted for parking in the setback. For the U-Haul property. So we just like to make note of that. Okay. So in summary, would you say that the layout of the Leonard's development is consistent with a number of these other properties that are on this roadway?
Yes, I think the layout, the building, parking is consistent with the other industrial uses further to the east.
Okay. Two additional items to note, I guess, for purposes of the parking on the street, you're only asking for four spaces per the terms of this plan right here for
correct,
parallel
yeah.
parking spaces. And this road, Old West Chocolate Ave, is fairly straight and level, right? No turns.
Correct.
No real elevation changes. Okay. And I guess one other thing to note is as you head west on some of these properties that are further west, the trajectory of the road and the railroad track in the back, the properties to the west tend to get a little wider. And so even these wider properties.
To the east?
To the east, I'm sorry. Yes. Nope. To the east.
Yeah.
Tend to get wider, and so that will, you know, even those wider properties needed variances to accommodate their development.
Correct, yep.
And then the final item, the garage or the storage shed in the rear, that butts up against the railroad track. So no apparent, bother to any neighboring property owner.
Right, yeah, no existing neighbors near yep. the property.
Okay. That's all I have for you on that.
Okay, thank you.
And then I was going to make a question for you. I was going to call Mike Leonard up and maybe you could.
That, we can hold our questions okay. or we can ask him now. It's up
yeah,
to you.
Mike, why don't you come up and you can. I figured, Mike, you can kind of go on your own and okay. sort of tell him a little bit about the proposed.
Sounds good.
And a little bit about the business. Right. And the reason why you're moving.
We need to swear you in.
Yep. I do. Mike Leonard, 130 Cedar Avenue, Hershey, PA. Thank you for your time tonight. Before I get started, I just want to say a thank you publicly and make sure it's on the record in the minutes about the Community Development Office here at Derry Township. many, many things I've been involved with over the years and through the system. They've always been willing to help us walk through, guide us with proper ideas, and I've never been treated as a pain or a nuisance, and that I want to thank them for. Diane and I have lived in Hershey since our marriage. I had 1992, she corrected me, 1995. I moved here in 69. Hershey's been home, upbringing, adulthood, and I have loved it, except the first year the Hershey Kiss New Year's Eve dropped and the kiss got stuck. Now they raise it, in case you don't know why. I have been an active member of the community, starting with volunteer firefighting. Once my business started and took off, my role became a business owner, taking care of family, taking care of community, food banks, plumbing donations to the food bank. When they built a new building, Flush Away Hunger programs, we donate a dollar for every job we do to the food bank. Nonprofits, we gave the starter money for Cocoa Packs, and the list goes on and on and on. Taking care of neighbors, taking care of someone around the world. My wife's not here tonight, she's in Nicaragua, helping people down there. Reasons why we ask for the items in the variance, all the reasons the lawyer said, all the reasons the engineer said. The reason for me. The reason for me, I want to keep the business in the community I grew up in. The business crew that I grew up in and that the business grew up in. Be able to provide service in a competitive way to keep costs at the lowest possible for my customers. When we can have a building this close to our clientele, it helps us be efficient and keep our overhead minimal and our billable hours up so we can be competitive. As the employees continue to work and provide for our community and their surrounding communities in Hummelstown, Palmyra, Hershey, Middletown, Millersburg, and they're out doing things in their community and helping their neighbors. We all know the availability of a location to have such a business in town is extremely limited, if not impossible. There's many changes going on around my existing shop behind Rite Aid on Chocolate Avenue, I'm sure you may be aware of. They need to take 22 feet of my property, which will pinch me considerably. With the changes going on and then Hidden Stills with all the things that are gonna be happening back there from here out, I think it would be an ideal opportunity to relocate my business and keep serving the community that I grew up in and have been part of. And I just want to thank you for your consideration while you think about this.
Okay, thank you. Questions? You ready for questions at this point?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Anybody?
I just have one question. Thank you. I appreciate your comments, and I like what you're doing for the most part. I'm just concerned. The separate storage area toward the train track, does that have to be segregated? Is there something flammable in that building?
No, that it's an existing shed. I have my existing location. It's an existing shed. I have my existing location. It would be about $28,000, $30,000 if you buy today. We keep pipe in it and PVC fittings, and we have two large doors so our trucks could drive through and load up their stuff. It will help free up my warehouse space.
Okay.
So it's a dream of mine to be able to have it. I could have the building people build on a shed off the back.
Yeah, I was
not bring the existing one I have.
No, that's not the concern. My concern is how close we're getting to the property line and the train tracks there with structure rather than just parking. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's not a concern I had. So, all right, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I shared that same concern, Tom. Is there a different option to build that storage into the new structure you're building?
Again, I have a 5-foot space there. Is it 5 foot? I don't have the big drawing. 3 foot, and that's the old firefighter in me. I don't want to tight up against the building in case something happens. If I build onto the building to give me that extra storage, I'd still only gain 3 feet, so I'd be 7 feet from the railroad tracks. And if it's something that you so desire and that you don't want that shed there, I would have to live with it.
I would accept that defeat.
Yeah, so
but it's very, very valuable with all the things we inventory to be efficient, that space would really be nice.
So is it these materials that need to be at ground level as opposed to like...
Well, you have 20-foot lengths of pipe, and if I start putting 20-foot lengths of pipe in the warehouse, I start to lose a lot of space if I want to pull my trucks in the winter during a snowstorm or ice storm. Because you start getting long things in the warehouse instead of short shelves just for small fittings.
Right. And you said this is an existing shed that you're relocating from the other property?
It's existing. I don't know if he can pull up 337 West Chocolate there, but it's an existing shed on my parking lot right there that the big one right there. It's one of the prefab ones you buy from the Amish or whoever.
Okay. So. Understand. Okay. Thank you.
And there is a garage currently right on the property.
Right. Understood. Okay. Other questions, Joe?
No, just parlaying off what these fine gentlemen just said, those structures seem to be closer than any other of the buildings, like the storage units you showed, to the railroad tracks. Everything's in compliance with Norfolk, with the railroad, of having things that close?
Yeah. Actually, the lot next door, the storage sheds are two down, their rainwater goes onto the railroad tracks. Some reason that is allowed or not, whatever. But yeah, so I would have to defer to Dave, but I would think if we have the variance that I don't know if Norfolk Railroad's going to come to my door and knock or not. I don't know what
they can't tell you how anything of how far a structure can be on your property line. So
okay,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, I have one other question for you. So the parcel to the immediately to the east. Is that little odd-shaped parcel, is that also part or owned by the same owner
Mr.
as
Mr. and Mrs.
House?
O'Connell own the house, and they own that little triangle.
Okay, so that's one, yes. Maybe one deed, two parcels.
And they did get a copy of the drawings and the variance request dropped off to their door by me, and I reminded them of the meeting tonight, and if they had any comments or concerns or anything, they were welcome to have their... They have the right to be here. So they have been informed through the process from all the documents.
Great. Thank you for doing that. We often ask that question as to whether you've talked to your neighbors.
Drawings and everything.
Yeah. And I guess just to note, the reason the building is further to the east is you've got stormwater area on the west end of the property.
Yeah. This is a pipe that comes across. You see it here. So this is stone. It doesn't show well. And it comes over here to this riprap. So this is kind of all storm water here.
Hey, Mike. First, thank you for your testimony. Thanks for everything you do for the community. Fair prices. Your guys are great. Love working with your guys. They're the best. And I was going to say you could also add to the things you do, the mission trips. I don't know if I was talking to one of your plumbers before, and he was telling me about the mission trips that you guys do. So thank you for everything.
I go back Friday. I came home for this.
So. Oh, no. Wow. So I was just going to ask you, not to beat this to death, but the shed. How far is the shed away from the building?
3 feet right now.
It's 3 feet. So. Right. And again, you said the reason is like for a fire thing, you just don't want
There's
to butt
no
it up
code
against.
For it, I'm the next volunteer firefighter. I don't like a separate structure being close to another structure.
Okay.
Just because I'm weird. I've seen many things in my life.
Weird is good enough for me.
I mean, there's nothing going to be nothing to start a fire in here. PVC pipe, PVC fittings, steel pipe, steel fittings, but. If someone goes behind my building and throws a match, then it starts on fire.
I don't think you're weird, but hypothetically, that was your. I think you said that word. But if you were, could you move it closer? I mean,
I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can butt it up against.
Okay.
And have no access.
I just didn't know if there was any other reason other than the fire.
Nope.
Thing.
Just I want a space that, if there's an emergency, somehow people can get around.
And so the 4 feet is really only on that one end.
Right, and it's 12 over. In there. Yep.
I don't know if it's 12, but I don't know if there's a measure there.
Oh, yeah, so. I'm reading the wrong 12, yeah. Duh.
So I have a quick question for you, just a sidebar. How do you move an 18 by 40 shed in one piece, or don't you?
Well, they brought it onto my lot, and I forget how they did it. And it's actually not an 18 by 40 shed. It's 16 by 32 or 34.
Okay.
So the pad's a little bit bigger than the shed. And they had one of those, if I remember correctly, a flatbed tow truck.
Really?
And they put pipes under it and they dropped it. So I have to figure that out yet. I may not be moving it there, but it's been many years, but I remember a flatbed being involved.
So then, if I'm following correctly, the dimensions shown on the diagram are for the pad, not for the actual structure itself.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Thank
you. Yeah, the pad's probably 2 feet wider than it has to be and 2 feet longer than it has to be.
Last question. Are your employees good at parallel parking?
Those trucks are easier to park than your car.
Okay.
When you're over the cab leg,
yeah.
I can park those things on a dime. You know, they're a blessing.
Okay. Hearing none, is there anyone from the public here to testify? No. Seeing none, we'll close the hearing and the board has...
thank you.
Board has 45 days to render a decision and you have 30 days thereafter to appeal if you're aggrieved in any way. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, any other business tonight? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you, Tom. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The board will retire to executive session to deliberate on these two cases.